The Obama administration says discrimination is partly to blame for a pay gap between men and women. Congressional Republicans are skeptical. They've balked at a bill to address pay inequality. In the meantime, President Barack Obama has signed an executive order for federal contractors. They will have to report to the Labor Department detailed salary information broken down by race and by gender. They will not be able to retaliate against employees who discuss salary. Joining us with how contractors are taking the news is Trey Hodgkins. He's Senior VP for the Public Sector at the Information Technology Industry Council. Good morning, Trey.
Good morning.
So, Trey, first of all, just give us your gut reaction. What are contractors saying about this?
Well, I think that first it's important to note that the federal government contracting sector and the tech sector in particular is very supportive of equality in pay and does not support practices that would create an imbalance in that. The challenge in this will be understanding how the Labor Department will implement it. The executive order and the memorandum, there were actually two documents that were signed, are very high level and outline very important and appropriate policy directions. Where we need to understand how things will be put in place and where we need to understand how they may be disruptive to things like government competition will come in the specifics and the regulations the labor will write.
Well, I wonder if there's an implicit assumption behind this that any pay gap revealed must be resulting from discrimination, because I'm not sure that's a provable point.
You know, I don't know about the specifics. I'm not aware of any information that outlines any pay gaps that may exist in federal government contracting. You know, I think generally speaking, it's been widely noted that gaps do exist, of course, but I don't know that there's any information that's more prevalent or less prevalent or what practices may contribute or inhibit that in the public sector space.
From what we know now, you said they are high-level documents, of course, but how would this change the everyday practices inside contractors?
Well, a couple of things. The provision in the memorandum, in the executive order about not retaliating for disclosure of salary information, that's actually already covered in law under the National Labor Relations Act. It prohibits from employees in suppressing that kind of activity. It's a right for laborers and employees. However, the question, and again, one of the elements that we want to make sure we get the right balance around, is that contractors generally consider their labor rates, what they actually bill and the wrap rates behind them, to be competitive sensitive information. And those can be and usually are subject to non-disclosure obligations, both on the employees and then in a contracting context. So we have to figure out where is the balance between allowing an employee to determine, the equity of what they are earning and then still being able to protect the competitive information necessary around an employee, a company's labor rates. The underlying reason for doing that is that if that information becomes widely known, then you erode competition or the ability of that individual company and more broadly all companies to compete and get the best prices for taxpayers. So those are the kinds of things we have to figure out how to balance in the regulations. It's important that employees understand what they make and can be able to compare it, but we want to do it in a way that's not counterproductive to government acquisition.
So it sounds like really what the issue is, it's not so much one employee talking to their office mate saying, hey, how much do you make? How much do I make? Should I be asking for a raise? It's getting that out. It's leaking that information so that competitors might get wind of it and use it to their advantage.
Well, that would be one downside to having the information become publicly known. You're correct. This doesn't prevent employees discussing amongst themselves, and that's the intent of the executive order, is specifically say there can't be retaliation for that. And so, there are settings where that's appropriate to try and determine what is equitable pay, and then we need to understand how public disclosure of that information may have other negative consequences.
When bidding on a service contract, as you mentioned, contractors do bid labor rates, and the government often looks at the labor rates to make sure that they're getting what they consider qualified people, regardless of gender, to work on the contract that they're going to award. Is there Is it possible for, I mean, does the government generally, the contracting officers, look at the mix of individuals that end up working on a contract, or do they just simply care about the average labor rate that is part of the contract?
No, usually they do want to know. They usually ask for things like a resume or a CV for an individual, each individual is being offered, so that they understand that if they're buying an engineer or a software developer, that the person actually has those bona fides to fit that job description, and then the government is actually getting an individual who can execute on what they need the mission to complete. So that's not unusual for them to know the individual, and then those labor rates are attached to those different categories of job descriptions, software developer, software engineers, IT architect, et cetera. And that's how the government bids on those, using those categories and the company labor rates that come from the companies.
We're speaking with Trey Hodgkins. He's Senior Vice President for Information Technology for the public sector at the Information Technology Industry Council. And Trey, going to the other part of this directive by the White House to tell the Labor Department how pay is broken down by gender and race within a particular company, is that different from what contractors do now?
No, actually, if a company has more than 50 or more employees today, this is the kind of data they're already collecting and providing to the government through affirmative action plans. A compensation analysis with appropriate demographic and pay rate data is always part of that type of a program or plan. And so contractors are already providing information of this sort to the federal government for compliance purposes. What we want to make sure is that we don't create a redundant requirement for reporting, and that we try and figure out where that data is being compiled. And, you know, it's probably somewhere like the Department of Labor, and make sure that it's, if it's possible, that we tap into the data the government already has to make these determinations, rather than creating a redundant reporting requirement. If a company can demonstrate they've already shared the information with the government, then that should satisfy the requirements of the memorandum for turning in this type of data, because it's already in there.
And what would you say have the trends have been just generally demographically in terms of federal contractors? I mean, are more women coming into the technical fields such as software engineering and design and those things? We know that, out in the public, you see many, many, many women in sales, business development, and marketing positions at those contractors. But what about the technical ranks?
Well, the STEM ranks in particular, Tom and Emily, as you both know, continue to have shortcomings and shortfalls of anyone of any race or gender. We simply don't have enough people to perform the needed work in those spaces. And so I would say all of those categories are below what anyone wants them to be and what they're needed to be. More broadly, I have not seen any demographic information about, women who may be doing business development or other types of activities for companies in the public sector. And so I don't have a sense of how that actually breaks down.
And what about types of contractors? I mean, it would seem that the companies you represent are of a different nature in terms of the work they do than companies that may be offering landscaping services, janitorial, food service, and so forth, where there's lots of hourly employees. So you might have this executive order might affect your companies differently than it would affect those types of companies.
Well, I don't want to make any assumptions about who does work outdoors or manual labor or other works, but you're correct. I think generally speaking, there are trends around professional activities versus the more labor activities that are maintenance, et cetera. And I think that we do see people who strive to have a long-term successful career go for the STEM education things, the IT sector type careers. So I think that that's just typical in the workforce. More broadly, though, I don't know that you can compare IT any differently to a different sector, aerospace engineering or, shipbuilding and design. All of those are science, technologies, engineering, mathematic careers. And I would imagine the the trends and ratios are relatively the same.
But let me ask you this, because there have been news reports over the past several months looking at the lack of women in the upper ranks in Silicon Valley, in the tech industry there particularly. And I'm just wondering, does the federal contracting community, the technology community, does it already have programs to put women through this STEM pipeline so that they are working their ways up to those upper ranks?
Well, all of the companies that I work with, I'm aware that all or almost all of them have professional development programs that are internal to the company where they select individuals and put them into management tracks based on the degrees they have, the skills they bring, the initiative and excellence they deliver on the things that they've done so far. And then they incubate those individuals through their different programs into senior management. I'm not aware that there is an emphasis or a lack of emphasis around gender to try and promote more women, for example, but I know that all of the companies have robust programs for advancing skilled individuals into the management levels.
It's probably safe to say that Marilyn Hewson of Lockheed, Sid Ashworth of Northrop Grumman, and, say, Ginni Rometty at IBM are pretty vigilant about making sure that pay and advancement is equal for everybody.
Well, I would agree with you, Tom. There are some great examples in the government space, and there's some great examples also in the public the IT sector. It's Xerox and HP and other great companies like those where women have risen to the top ranks of the companies. I think everyone would agree we can always do more. We can always be more effective in this. And these are some steps the president's taking to try and make sure we can do that, at least in the contracting world.
So bottom line, will the council and the companies, you feel, pretty much live with this executive order? No gambit to try to say, wait a minute, this is not fair?
I've not heard that reaction yet. Again, I think the interest is around understanding how specifically what will the Department of Labor regulations require. We want to avoid redundancy. We want to make sure that, we protect the competitive nature of the market in the government space. But make sure that the acquisition regulations, the FAR language that would actually implement this, is also not disruptive in some way. So we need to just understand the implementation piece, and it's not the intent or the objective that there's any question I've heard.
All right. Trey Hodgkins is Senior VP for the Public Sector at the Information Technology Industry Council. Trey, as always, thanks for joining us.